You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The coronavirus pandemic, it has disrupted school for at least 55 million K-12 students. Some authors for young readers, they're turning to social media to meet up with their fans, reading their works online, offering drawing tutorials to help with the strange new hours of forced homeschool in America. So are you a teacher? What advice can you give parents right now to keep their kids reading? Are you a student being assigned to read during social distancing? Have you found yourself reading more? What are you into these days? We're at 800-642-1234. Kathleen Horning is director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center of the School of Education at UW-Madison. She is a former children's librarian. Katie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So how is your center, the Cooperative Children's Book Center, how are you working through the pandemic?
Well, there are only four librarians on our staff, and we're all working from home. And our biggest challenge is we aren't seeing the new books as they come in, as we usually do every day. But happily, one of our librarians, Madeline Tyner, is on a national award committee right now that is looking at all of the children's books published in the United States. She's still continuing to get the books from home, at home. So we do at least have access through her, and she's able to read and keep track of things. But I would say all of the work we do is so dependent on the books themselves and what we're seeing and reading. We did each, on our last day in the library, take home a great big bag of books to read, and we're hoping to have some sort of book exchange at some point in this process so we can share them with each other.
I think people are reading, though. I checked little free library outside our house yesterday. It had been picked clean, not a single book left in it. And it was chock full just, you know, a few weeks ago. So I think people may be turning to some books. You know, that's anecdotal for me, but I found it pretty exciting to see that my free little library location was dry.
Right. And, you know, I love audiobooks, and so one thing I've noticed is books I've had on hold for, you know, that the original hold was going to be 6 months, all of a sudden that's jumped to 2 months. So I think people are also listening to a lot of audiobooks that they're able to get from the public library.
Yeah, what are those distance abilities with our libraries? We can't go to them right now, many of them right now across Wisconsin. So what is outreach like? What can we do online?
Well, you know, again, audiobooks. I think the South Central Library System in Wisconsin, and I'm sure the various library systems throughout the state, have really good audiobook selection that I'm always surprised the number of people that don't know about them. But you can borrow those books for free, and you sometimes have to wait a little while for, because you can only have them out for 2 weeks. So you have to wait until someone else is finished listening. But those are a really good option, both for adults and children. There are many children's books on audio, and oftentimes they're just excellent being read to children by a professional narrator. And then there are also ebooks that are available if you happen to have the right platform, like an iPad, or even you can read on your phone. I think that takes particularly young eyes. And I know it's not quite the same thing as holding a book in your hand, but certainly children, and I think especially children in, you know, fifth grade and up seem to be pretty comfortable with reading ebooks and electronic media. So it's also possible to read a book and listen to the audiobook as well. So it just depends. Another thing I always stress is parents reading aloud to their children and finding good books that you can read to, say you have three kids of different ages. Mm-hmm. There are some excellent books that all three of them would enjoy hearing. They might understand different things about the books, but that's another way to share books. You may have books in your home that you can read, and I wouldn't hesitate to reread. a favorite book. I think particularly a good children's book, if a child reads it at 8 and then reads it again at 10 or 11, oftentimes they see completely different things the second time. And many children are great rereaders. They'll reread. How many kids have reread the Harry Potter books, for example, over and over again? And I think rereading, I don't think it has to be a new book every time. Rereading is a really valid form of reading and often very pleasurable.
We're talking with Katie Horning, director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center of the School of Education at UW-Madison, and she's past president of the Association for Library Service to Children of the American Library Association, talking about how you're helping your kids read right now as they're at home during the pandemic. Join in with your suggestions and your tips on how to get kids to read. We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Katie, you were talking earlier there about professional narrators, and one internet trend that seems to be taking off is celebrities and authors. They're coming out of the woodwork reading to kids on social media. We've seen Amy Adams and Jennifer Garner, just so many. Author Susie Jaramillo reading Little Sunny Sunshine, and here is just a snippet of that.
Moon, loony, loony, rattle, tattle, toony, the world I'll explore way up high and up a loony.
Okay, otra vez en español. ¿Listos? Ready?
Luna, lunera, cascabelera, mañana volaré. Porque el mundo me espera.
Ah, isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing at this moment from authors? How are they connecting to readers?
Well, a lot of authors are already connected to readers via social media. Many of them have a really strong social media presence. And it has been really interesting to see how so many children's and young adult authors have risen to the occasion. And publishers across the country pretty quickly gave blanket permission to read aloud books in a broadcast. You know, there's always a copyright issue with doing that, but they've said in these circumstances, which are very unusual, it's fine to do that. So there are authors reading their own books aloud. I know that I read recently R.J. Palacio, the author of Wonder, is going to start reading her book aloud for people to tune in and listen to. And that's an extremely popular book right now, both actually with children and adults. It's been on the bestseller list for quite some time.
And that's a book my daughter just read over and over and over again.
And she may enjoy just hearing the author read it. I mean, there is something about hearing an author read his or her own words. And then graphic novelist Jarrett Karashka is, I think you alluded to it earlier, he's offering daily drawing lessons for kids. And that is a really amazing gift, I think, to children. It doesn't last very long, so it's not like a really long, kind of tedious class. And he's fun. He really knows how to engage with children. Oftentimes, children's authors and artists spend a lot of time in classrooms, do a lot of school visits, so they know how to talk to kids, and they know what kinds of questions kids ask. So they're really good at this type of performance or presentation.
Talking with Katie Horning, who stays with us. She's the director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center. Are you a librarian? How is your facility helping kids at this time to read? We're at 800-642-1234. We'll talk more in a moment with Katie Horning here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about kids and reading here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So some of our beloved children's authors and illustrators, they're popping up online. Oliver Jeffers, Mo Willems, thank you so much for reading and doodling with our kids. They're helping to entertain and bridge the social distances for kids who are cooped up at home right now. And some authors have united under initiatives like Stay In Storytime and Operation Storytime. So has your child participated in one of these online offerings? How did it go? And parents, how are you helping your kids keep up on reading with schools closed? How often is it happening? Do you have a routine down? Still time for you. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Katie Horning is an author, and she is the head of the Cooperative Children's Book Center at UW-Madison. So, Katie, my daughter, and I mentioned this earlier, she's reading Little Women right now in a book group with newly formed book group with her great aunt and her grandmother and her mother, who happens to be falling behind on reading chapters. So that is the reality at our house. But they we all meet twice a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays. And, you know, we're all in different places and all in different states. How do parents right now, when they are really strapped for time, how are we spending more time at, you know, in times for reading? How do we do this?
Well, I think that actually that what you just described is a great idea. Even if it's a parent and a child reading the same book and then getting together to discuss it. And it's interesting for parents to see how their children perceive books. Oftentimes I think everyone assumes that people read the same book when they're reading the same words, and they don't. And it's interesting for a parent to see what a child understands and doesn't understand. What I've found in discussing books with children is they oftentimes understand a lot more in terms of content than I realized they could. But where they have trouble is with the structure of a story. If they're just, you know, like a flashback or something, change in setting. It's actually the physical structure of a story that's often a challenge. I think that certainly parents are having a lot of time with their kids in a way they haven't expected, and some may see this as a gift. Others may see it as a bit more of a burden. In fact, I remember seeing the second day of this, the producer, Shonda Rhimes, saying, after 1 hour and 18 minutes of homeschooling my children, I think teachers should be paid $1 billion. But, you know, just many, many, many people, adults, they don't have any training in how to be a teacher, and that's not something you can just pick up overnight. So I think parents are putting in their best effort and doing the best they can. But one thing we do know about children and learning is that reading is a key part of that. And if you do nothing more than allow a child time to read, time to choose books on their own, and if you read with a child, that's the best possible thing that you can be doing. And the reading comprehension skills are really the foundation of everything that a child goes on to learn. So this time could be thought of as, you think of the summer when children are most children are out of school, and public libraries have summer reading programs, summer library reading programs, to encourage kids to keep reading over the summer. There's actually something called a summer slide, where children who don't read over the summer, actually their reading scores fall back, and that's just something that's been studied for many years and is a reality. So anything you can do to keep children reading in the summer helps keep their reading up. And I would say during this time, think of it as summer, when even though you can't go outside and go places, you can still spend time reading and keep the child's reading skills up. Those are so important.
Yeah, Katie, one of my kids has a real appetite right now for survival books and is really into the I Survived series, the Lauren Tarshis series. Mm-hmm. You know, books like that that they may want to see a pandemic in a different way or gather more history on destruction in the past. What would you recommend there in terms of reading?
Well, it really depends on what the child's tastes are. First of all, I would say, you know, living through a pandemic, I'm not sure how much people really want to read about it. Perhaps children do, but I would be curious to find that out from children who love reading what we call dystopic fiction. And many people right from the outset of this are comparing what we're going through to Hunger Games, which is a really popular survival, kind of an extreme survival series. But there are all kinds of different sorts of survival stories, from ones that are done in a fantasy environment, which may be, there are ones that are set in nature, the child against the environment type of thing, trying to survive alone. Think of like a shipwreck type of scenario or a plane crash. And then there are just a lot about imagining a future where everything is a little bit different from how it is now, which is sort of what we're living through now. Everything is a little bit different.
And a little topsy-turvy.
There have been young adult novels in particular, many of them in the last, I would say, 10 years or so, that have sort of written a scenario like what we're living through now. So whether or not those will ring true once you do live through something like this. Someone said, don't worry, I've read this story before, and we all know that a 17-year-old girl is going to come in and save us all. Because that is the trope in so many young adult novels that deal with some element of survival. There's a book that came out last year that does the fantasy element of this, which I think is really good, called Lelani of the Distant Sea by Erin Entrada Kelly. And it is about a girl who leaves her, she lives in an island community, and they're just sort of, the people are really, really struggling to just maintain life on this island, and they need a change in weather. And so she sets off on a journey with a little boat to try to find a solution to the problem. Now, this is one of the things about survival novels. Usually the child is sweeping in and doing something heroic and
saving the day. Yeah.
That's not a terribly realistic story, obviously. It's a pure escape. So kids living through it might actually enjoy another type of escape. It'll be interesting to see if your child is still want to focus on survival stories. Maybe they offer comfort because they're familiar and they tell the story we're living through with a happy ending. And maybe your child will want to change course and read something completely different.
Another one of your favorites is Tristan Strong Punches a Hole in the Sky. What do you love
about?
Yeah.
That's a really great book. Now, I know a lot of people listening out there are familiar with Rick Riordan, who does the Percy Jackson series, extremely popular with kids now. And this is part of a series that he oversees called Rick Riordan Presents, which use stories by diverse authors. And Tristan Strong is an African-American boy visiting his grandparents in the South, and he manages to literally punch a hole in the sky and enter a parallel universe that's populated by characters from African myth and legend and African-American folktales. So John Henry is a big character in this. And he, and as well as many of the characters like Brer Fox, for example, it's just a completely different world, but there are elements of African-American history in it. And it's funny. It's one of my favorite books from last year. So I'm glad Rick Riordan is helping. These are all new, mostly debut authors or first-time writing for children.
Yeah. And with so much doodling going on online right now, you really like New Kid by Jerry Craft, which is a graphic novel.
Right. And that book won the Newbery Award this year. And that's the first time a graphic novel has ever won the Newbery Award, which has been around for almost 100 years now. And that's about an African-American boy in middle school who is starting his first year in an elite school that's mostly white, not completely white, but the kids are upper class, and he's working class. And so it deals with class differences. It deals with racial differences. It's really funny, but it's also very deep and meaningful.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Katie Horning is director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center of the School of Education at UW-Madison. To find your next book to read, go to WPR.org/mornings. You can find a link to the center's list of top choices for 2020. Coming up, we learn about supports for small businesses in Wisconsin that are reeling from the economic effects of the coronavirus. Do you own a small business? Are you applying for a small business disaster loan? Have you received one in the past? Join in now with your questions, your situation, 800-642-1234. We'll talk small business disaster assistance right after this news update on the Ideas Network.